So it's not what you say, but the way you speak with your voice, eyes, face, and body language. Face, that means you cannot have a frown while you're talking, right? It kind of reflects on you as an individual. So again, we've discussed before that words 7%, tone of voice 30, actually it's 38, and that goes to 55. But of course, various books would have figures fluctuating here and there. Attitude. Though a caller cannot be seen, he or she can definitely hear attitude in the recipient's voice. Yeah, tell me. So, very cold in terms of behavior. Yes, what do you want to share with us? Yes, do you have any information to give? So, that of being firm. So, again, how are you putting it forward, your attitude? Telephone calls should be answered with warm, positive greetings. Constructive language, thinking, and enthusiasm can all be perceived in your phone etiquette. We had this one individual. He said that whenever he finishes the conversation, he never says bye. So we asked him why. He's saying bye means bye forever. Now that is ridiculous. You need to understand that the basic way of conversing is first greeting the person, hello, hi, how are you? And when we finish a conversation, we say bye. So we asked him, how do you end your conversation? He says, see ya. See ya sounds so trendy. It doesn't sound professional and it sounds inappropriate. There is something like etiquette which needs to be followed when we talk of conversation via telephone. In today's world, most of our initial contact with anyone is through the telephone. Recruiters therefore insist that the job applicants contact them over the phone first so that they can judge the candidate for the vacancy. When you receive a phone call, be courteous and pleasant. Let the caller feel important. Do everything to assist caller complete his work without wasting any time, which is precious for both of you. Especially when you talk of an interview, say via telephone. It is said that first and foremost, you should keep your CV in front of you. Secondly, you should not ideally eat or drink water in between, not even a chewing gum, because somewhere it will affect your way of speaking. Thirdly, very important that if you have your CV in front, your table should be clean because you should not be flipping the pages and it will be very clear to the opposite person that you're going through your CV while questions are being asked to you. So you need to be very discreet that you have your CV in front of you. Just let it be there and ideally in a manner whereby the person feels there is no disturbance in the background. So that even if there is external noise which is not in your control, say someone is playing loud music in the background or suddenly you hear an ambulance going by, then that does not really come or act as a barrier while you're communicating. Speed and clarity, we've discussed clarity though. Clarity of speech is important. Clear articulation, correct pronunciation are necessary. Never try to put on artificial or borrowed accents, right? English is spoken all over the world in varying accents. It is sufficient to pronounce correctly and clearly. Speed of speech can affect clarity to some extent. Talking very, there should be a gap between extent and talking. To some extent, talking very fast affects clarity and may give an impression that you are in a hurry to finish conversation. High pitch and loud voice is unpleasant and sounds uncultured. Even if there is an ambulance going by in the background, you suddenly cannot start shouting. You need to raise your tone, but not drastically. It should not be unpleasant for the opposite person. So, when you talk of high pitch, it should be avoided. The voice should sound pleasant enough. So, speed and clarity. Hi, it's me. I'm leaving in an hour. Call me. Now, why would you say this is unclear? So, if I'm saying I'm leaving in an hour, call me. So, should I call you now? Yes, I would expect that. Or should I call you later? after you're done with your work at the end of the day. So you need to be clear. Hi, it's Sita Sahani from SS Computers calling. I'll be in my office until 11:30 and then again after 2. So are you getting it? Very clear with instructions that till 11:30 I'm here, and then 11:30 to 2 I will not be able to communicate with you. Please call me on so and so. I'm looking forward to speaking with you. Even grammatically, looking and speaking. So sentence construction. So every aspect is focused on. This is giving clarity with the message. Professionalism, very important. Professionalism should be present in all business phone calls. Identify the organization and yourself when answering the phone. A conversation should be held only with the caller. Who is the concerned person who has called you? Your conversation should be only with him. Do not talk to others who may be in the immediate area while you are on phone with someone else. So for example, I'm over the phone and I'm saying, yes, get that. So the concerned person will say, I'm sorry. So you're creating confusion. You're talking to two people who are in no way connected. You're not focusing on that one person whom you're expected to interact with. And somewhere you are having a break in between with your conversation. Be professional when addressing the caller, never defensive. Use the caller's name frequently. It makes the caller feel that, yes, both of you are conversing and the conversation is meant to only be between the two of y'all. Return calls when indicated, and on that occasion, be well prepared for the conversation with any necessary files, notes or material which is required. Have it organized on your table. Have it in a manner whereby you know that what you will need and not need. Keep your table clutter-free, especially when you know that someone is calling you for some work. Keep the table clutter-free. Listening. When individuals are not meeting face-to-face and cannot see each other's body language, effective listening is important. Now, when we talk ideally of listening, how will that happen if we are in the present moment? You have to constantly remind yourself, snap your fingers saying, I'm here, let me be focused. I'm working on a project, let me be focused. I'm listening to somebody, let me be focused. So constantly reminding yourself to be in the present, because as humans, we are very often either in the past or the future. So we need to remind ourselves to be as much as we can in the present. Listen objectively to the caller without interrupting, keeping an open mind. We need to understand one effective aspect of listening, that when I'm listening, I'm only doing the work of listening, nothing else. What does it mean? I'm not focusing on how to change your thought process based on what you're saying. I'm not focused on what you should do and not do. I'm not focusing what you need to say, not need to say. I'm just expecting that you ideally say and I hear. That means being with you while you talk. Take notes, ask questions, do not make any quick judgments about the caller, the subject being discussed, or its relative importance. Concentrate on the call, putting aside other work, distractions, interruptions, and background noise. Any other form of interruption, say you receive another call, or while you're talking on the landline, you get a call on your mobile. So you're talking to the person, you go in silence for 2 minutes, then you tell the other person, I'll call you back. Then again, you start talking. You're complicating the situation. Be with the caller for the moment till you finish. Ending a call. A telephone call should have a warm, positive close. Okay, see you. That doesn't sound good, right? All right, bye, see you, right? Or all right, bye, good talking to you. So the way you speak, repeat the caller's name, company and phone number. Summarize the conversation and what actions or needs are to be addressed. Yes, if you've spoken to a person, there's no proof yet of written communication, then you can repeat what is discussed. You can ideally summarize, you can paraphrase, and you let the caller know that this is what you've heard and this is how you all will be going ahead in terms of the action you want to take. Any meeting arrangement should be confirmed and followed with an email affirmation. The next step is email. Thank the caller for contacting the organization and let the caller hang up first. Courtesy counts certainly. Very important that you show respect to the opposite person. Telephone messages. When you are unable to reach the person you wish to contact, you may be asked to leave a message on an answering machine. Make certain your messages are clear, concise, and most important, cover what you really want to say. That's most important. Speak slowly and enunciate clearly. If the recipient cannot understand your message, it'll be useless and frustrating. Yes. Go at a pace which is neither too fast nor too slow. Hence, try not to ramble, mumble, hesitate, whisper. Right? When I talk of these kind of aspects, you know, slanting, rambling, all these are aspects whereby, you know, you're giving a message which could be unclear. You're probably not knowing what exactly to say. You're putting it inappropriately. You're making it more difficult for the listener to understand what you're saying. So it is best that you do not hesitate. You know, you fumble with words, you're at loss of words. Prepare at least in your mind what you want to say beforehand. Be businesslike for a business connection. All right, any questions? Telephone messages. State your name, your company, and your reason for the call in a nutshell. So now we talk of voicemail. Voicemail greeting messages should be positive, professional, include an individual's name, company, and a request of the caller to leave a name, number, and short message regarding the purpose of the call. A voicemail, basically, if the person cannot be accessible at that moment, what is the advantage of a voicemail? It goes directly to the concerned person. Say if you call up somebody's office or organization, you have to then leave a message with the secretary or an assistant to let them know that you had worked with Mr. Nair. Whereas if it's a voicemail, you directly leave that message on Mr. Nair's voicemail. So it goes directly to him. So you can say, "Hi, Mr. Nair, this is Bhairavi here. I request you to call me at the earliest. It is regarding our plans for the project. So I'm being very clear, direct. I've left my name. I'm assuming he has my number. So it makes it easier in terms of letting the person know that you're expecting a call immediately. Callers not wanting to leave a voicemail message should have the option of escaping to a live person. Do not use voicemail to screen calls or to avoid answering the phone. People do that if you want to avoid answering a phone, right? Leave an extended absence message when away from office, on vacation, or a business trip. You do have, even today in terms of email, right? You have, you know, if you send an email to a person and he's traveling, so you get an auto response saying that I will be away from the 10th to the 18th October. So the concerned person who sent you an email will know that you will not be able to answer any of the emails till the 18th. Also very important that people who do not want to leave a message via voicemail, they directly want to connect to the person. That option, ideally, how does it happen? Well, today we're living in a tech-savvy age. The voicemail is one way where you can directly connect to a person. Otherwise, we even have something like an intercom. What is the advantage of an intercom? Wherever you are seated, you will pick up the intercom immediately. What does it mean? That your availability is known. At times, you may not answer the mobile immediately, but you will pick up the intercom immediately. Necessity. In certain business situations, it is necessary to convey your message in writing. Written messages are required when the receiver has to refer to it while taking action upon it. If you want your secretary to call three new contacts, to provide you an example, it is better you write names with contact number on a piece of paper and pass it on to her. So you're not complicating the situation. You're giving her a piece of paper which has a three names and number. So it gets easier for her to connect to those three people. Any possibility of error is eliminated. You're playing really safe. You don't want any sort of confusion. Or when equipment is down and the foreman wants a mechanic to replace three specific components, written messages serve the purpose. Messages are important when it comes to business communication. The sender must know how to structure the message to give the reader a sense of professionalism and being treated well. So when you talk of written communication, there's something known as being coherent. When I talk of being coherent, giving information in a logical order, going stepwise so it looks structured in terms of information. When information is structured, it gets easier for the receiver to understand whatever is put forward. When information is structured, it means it is going in a logical manner. Information should be in a logical manner so that there is some rationality to all the points which have been put forward by you. Planning a message. When planning on how to write a message, one should ask the following questions. Who is the person for whom is the message designed? Is it for a client, a service provider, a creditor, or an employee? It is important to identify who is the recipient of the message so that certain terms, forms can be adopted to make it clear for the receiver. Say you have a person who's a non-technical individual. That means he ideally, the reader, is non-technical. Whereas the person who's writing an email to you is a person in the technical field. How does a technical person explain to you certain aspects? So a technical points which are put forward to a non-technical audience. That means explained in the simplest of way. Second question is, for what purpose is this message written? There has to be some base and logic for you to write an email. So what is the reason? Even if you have four reasons, you start with point A and then you move ahead. Now, what is the purpose for you to start with this point? Do you go in a pyramid approach or the bottom-top approach? When I say pyramid approach, you start with the simplest point first and the most important point last. But generally, what do we expect? The inverted pyramid. That means start with the most important point first and then go and narrow down the points to something which is not as crucial to as we move ahead. Is it to give appreciation, a constructive criticism, or to persuade the reader? If the purpose is identified, then the contents of the message will be designed in relation to the purpose. So, what is the reason? Am I sending you a message to ideally appreciate, especially if it's constructive criticism? That means criticism, but put forward in an effective manner, whereby you're not hurting or offending the sentiments of the other person. After planning, when you talk of writing a message, after planning comes the actual writing stage of a message. That is why it is said that if you're not very skilled with written communication, you first should ideally have a draft prepared. You should know what is the content. What exactly do I need to mention, not mention? Who is the concerned person? So plan. And when you talk of any email, if you're talking ideally of email written, say, in your organization, the five W's: who, what, when, where, why. Who, what, when, where, and why. When we talk of planning, it is a crucial stage, since one mistake of a word may give a wrong impression to the reader, and you may not get the results you wanted from the message. Always be sure that the name of the recipient is correctly spelled. The message should contain brief and concise instructions with regard to the job to be carried out. Also check the message for grammar and spelling mistakes. Ensure that the message is proofread to convey the correct meaning to the reader. It is absolutely important that you go through it. Maybe somebody else reads it too before you finalize, say, a deal. So what are the points put forward? Have you put forward the most important and appropriate points? Ensure that the message is proofread. Use actionable words, vivid descriptions, and specific concrete language to evoke interest. The person while reading your email should be able to visualize the content. When you're talking of an email, that content would take it to the next level. That means the content would get into action. So whatever you've planned, the next step will be getting into action. That means moving ahead, taking the next step. Use facts and figures rather than vague generalizations. Be very specific with your instructions and information. Completing a message. A message does not end at the writing stage. It needs to be sent to the correct recipient in order to serve the purpose for which it was written. If it is a post mail, the address of the recipient should be clearly written and double checked. Also ascertain there have been no revisions to it since you used it last. If it is through an email, be sure the email address is correctly entered and the subject is properly designated. The subject conveys all. In fact, people at top designations very often just read the subject and can figure out what the email is all about, because the subject conveys the most important aspect of the email. The subject conveys what is the email all about. Whether communicated by telephone or email, a message should have a casual, pleasant, conversational tone. The idea is to make the reader or speaker feel a part of that email. That is what is most important. It is important that you speak in a friendly and inviting manner that encourages a response from the recipient. If I want to encourage response from the opposite person or people, a lot depends on me. Refrain from sounding emotional, confrontational, or complaining. You may want the receiver of the written message to return the same to you after the action is completed. So if so, indicate. That means if you're confronting, then ideally the receiver may also sound a bit irritated and confront. So concealing or hiding your emotions, sounding more effective in terms of what is expected in terms of the task, neither complaining nor writing the email in an over exaggerated manner, being to the point, all these are aspects which have to be followed. Emails are now most frequently used medium of communication. But do people respond to your emails in the way you want them to? Well, not always. Very often an email comes to you with information which probably could be startling, which could surprise you, which could even shock you. So not necessary that when I send an email, what response I expect I will get. But yes, I can expect a response as per my thought process if I write an email which sounds extremely effective, which ideally is empathizing to a great extent. When you compose an email message, there are some simple rules that can be followed to ensure that your emails make a positive impression and get you the response you want. We shall look at them here and we illustrate the points we are talking about with good and bad examples at the end of each section. So, what is the difference when we talk of, say, written communication and face-to-face? Face-to-face communication, it's like FaceTime. It keeps you completely involved. Of course, at times you're preoccupied, at times you're not focused. But as such, it keeps you completely involved, which is not ideally necessarily the case with written communication. When you're reading an email, you could read it later. So you are actually accessing that email later. So with face-to-face, you're present. That means you're completely involved. Subject line are headlines. A newspaper headline has two functions. It grabs your attention and it tells you what the article is about. So you can decide if you want to read further. So what does it do? It first will make you feel whether it is worth reading. Sometimes the headline is gripping. That means you read the headline and you immediately start reading the article. Email subject lines need to do exactly the same thing. Use a few well-chosen words so that the recipient knows at a glance what the email is about. Yes, using minimum words. If your message is one of a repetitive nature, include the date or some other specifics in the subject line. Example, client query, product ABC, or stock status. And for a message that needs a response, you might want to include a call to action such as please reply by November 7. Now, the moment you write this, it means that you're already expecting that the person reads and goes to the next step. The next step is reply by November 7th. Remember that everyone tries to reduce the amount of spam email messages they receive. If they make appropriate use of subject line, you increase the chances that your email will be read rather than mistaken for spam and deleted without so much so as a glance. Your subject says a lot, right? Otherwise, it can be just, you know, deleted. It can be assumed it is junk, so not even read. Emails with blank subject lines are usually spam, right? So I guess we all are aware when we talk of written communication, subject of course plays a very crucial role, and the subject says it all, just the way a picture says it all in terms of a diagram or a picture's worth a thousand words. I guess it goes in the same manner for a subject in an email. Reminder of 10 a.m. meeting scheduled, right? So this is to the point. There is a meeting and it's a reminder to all. Hi Ram, I just wanted to remind you about the meeting we have scheduled for Monday, October 5th at 10 a.m. Now, even if I read this, I'm aware as to the timing and the date. It's being held in conference room A and we'll be discussing the new pass process. Please attend the product information file 6041 provided to you last Friday. Now, we assume this is clear. Of course, the wordings, please attend with product information file. That means you need to have this file along with you, carry it along with you. Now, someone who's not very effective with communication may get a bit confused because it's written here, please attend with product information file. But we take this to be basic direct communication. There is no chances of complication or misunderstanding, misinterpretation, or ideally not understanding words out here.